Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. The Reverend Mark Kiesling is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading for today is from John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. As she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father to my God, and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
As we have been reminded in our preaching this week on the post-resurrection texts, they teach us a lot about grief. We, of course, know parts of the backstory of Jesus' relationship with his followers and closest disciples, and this adds to our understanding of the grief and confusion the disciples felt over the events of Holy Week and Easter. However, that doesn't mean the accounts don't bring us surprises. Just as human response to grief can often be unpredictable and varied, a seven-stage explanation and pathway may work in many contexts and a helpful tool for understanding. But we also know grief is often not a straightforward, linear aspect for all people and for all lives. For even Christians, life experience, personalities, the influence of others, and above all, God's grace and the power of the resurrected Christ play into the effect of grief in our lives. Seeing the different reactions of the disciples of Jesus' resurrection and the resurrected Christ's interaction with his disciples always takes me back to important lessons about grief I learned as a child. I grew up as a pastor's kid, and because of that, I attended my good number of funerals already at a young age. Before I was old enough to go to school, or then maybe in the summer when I wasn't in school, I would often attend funerals of members of our congregation. I often tagged along with my mom to the funeral of a member I may or may not have known all that well. And sometimes my mom would not have been available to attend, and I would attend the service and receive the instruction from my dad that I needed to behave without nearby supervision during such a solemn service. Through those times of being around people who mourn the loss of a loved one, I was able to observe a lot. I would notice how some people at funerals were tearful, very sad, perhaps even unconsolable. In those times, I might catch that the demeanor of my dad was different and that the tone of his sermon was different. To the contrary, at other funerals, I observed loved ones being more happy or joyful, or at least not as visibly upset about the situation. I was taking in this information through a lens that lacked maturity and the understanding of the human experience. In my self-centered understanding of human beings, I thought everyone should act as I would. The experience left me with a lot of questions for my mom and dad. I had questions like, did the people who mourned more visibly love the person more than others? Why does one person seem sad at the loss of the individual? Why does one person not seem sad at the loss of an individual when I knew I would be devastated if I lost my parents or a sibling or someone that I loved? And just questions about why don't we mourn in the same way for fellow members of our congregation? When I asked my questions, I received answers that taught me much about the human experience and also, most importantly, the grace of Jesus and the power of the resurrection. I learned that sometimes at a funeral, loved ones were often all cried out of over the days of preparation for that service. I learned that much relief can come when loved ones have been watching another be in constant pain of maybe fighting cancer or another illness, and that they're almost glad and relieved that their loved one had received Christ's heavenly reward. I learned that there was much to give thanks about when someone had lived a good, healthy life. Family members, friends, church members were so thankful to God for the life given to this person and the difference that the person had made in their life. There could be laughter and joy over the life shared as God's people. I believe it was also in this context that I first learned the word or what it meant to have a tragedy or what was tragic in life. This word was to describe the deaths that were sudden, unexpected, and unwanted. Loved ones are left in confusion and anger and grief. Behind that grief was the feeling of loss of someone deeply loved, possibly someone even depended on, or the loss of the opportunities to fulfill dreams and plans. Other times there was guilt over broken relationships that were not healed before death. And others, the person mourning didn't know Jesus, and they didn't find the comfort in knowing that their loved one was with the Lord, despite hearing the good news proclaimed in God's word and in the sermon and in the hymns being sung at that service. I learned that people grieve differently. Situations provide context to one's grief. In our readings this week, we certainly see that in the lives of our disciples, of the disciples of Jesus, as they encountered the living Christ. When we read the accounts of Good Friday, we hear the words of Scripture, and our mind does not have to work hard to consider all the emotions and thoughts the follower of Jesus had that day. The tragedy that their teacher, their friend, their Savior died on the cross, that he died a criminal's death, though he was innocent. They saw their friend and Savior mocked, ridiculed, and stripped for all the world to see. They had doubts. They had seen so many of their hopes squashed. But as we fast forward to that Easter morn, we've had the disciples see the empty tomb and run off, and Mary stay. Mary stayed to dutifully do her work to take care of Jesus' body. And as we saw in the interaction between Mary and the disciples and Mary and Jesus, she was stalwart that she was going to complete her task, that she wanted to find that body. As the text tells us, Mary found Jesus' body, all right, but not how the way she had expected it. He was indeed alive. Mary would not have a relationship with Jesus in the same way, but she was still his, and in a new way. He had completed the work of love that he would do at the cross for the forgiveness of her sins and the sins of the whole world. As much as Mary wanted the body to be there in the same old way, the same way she expected it, there was a surprise for her. And like Mary, Jesus turns our mourning into dancing, our mourning into understanding of God's great love for us and his assurances of gift of eternal life for us. And the risen Christ changes everything for us and those whom he has called by faith. On Sunday, I was glad to sing one of my favorite hymns and perhaps my favorite verse of all the hymns that we sing. I always think of Mary at the tomb when we sing this verse. We know it as verse 5 of "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away all my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. In our times of grief and mourning over sin, over the loss of loved ones, over brokenness in the world, faith in Christ points us back to his word of comfort, hope, and reassurance. As Mary clings to the Lord, we cling to the word. For Mary, she could not continue to cling to Jesus in the way she did in the garden. Things could not be the same after the resurrection. But her witness to us is that because of Christ, everything has changed for us. The gospel invitation is the same for us today. Through his word, he meets us in our sin and forgives us. He meets us in our grief and speaks words of love and care. His words deliver to us the gift of eternal life and the resurrection and the promise of the world to come. Where he speaks, he gives faith, gives full life, and the forgiveness of sins. Even in our time of mourning, our times of confusion, The resurrected Christ empowers us to confess his grace and power.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve internationally, visit servenow.lcms.org.